For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ashkikin online. That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N. www.ashkikin.com. Ashkikin body butter, hair moisturizer, African black soap, scented candles, incense sticks, and more. Priced right just for you. All natural and handcrafted. Get your Ashkikin products today. Visit www.ashkikin.com. Papa was a Rolling Stone. Yeah, what you think that make me? Papa was a Rolling Stone, yeah. Rolling Stone, yeah. Rolling Stone, yeah. TK, show you. Papa was a Rolling Stone, yeah. So what you think they make me? I'm just another backseat. Look like you picked up from the wrong tree. Papa was a Rolling Stone. So what you think they make me? I'm just another backseat. How you picked up from the wrong tree? Yeah. Felt like that I was did wrong. Felt like I was on my own. Felt like nobody would help me. Felt like they left me alone. Felt like these niggas was selfish. Felt like I shattered my home. Felt like these niggas was careless. Felt like caring something wrong. And my papa always told me that you can't fuck with everybody. Had to learn the hoes of setting up the ride. Caught a couple niggas slipping in Ramadas. Had to learn the hard way to get it proper. Don't you move or you gon' have to see the doctor. Bad seed in me like a nigga rock. I can't help it, I'm a product of my environment. Living like a savage, yeah, I'm a tyrant. Papa was a Rolling Stone, yeah. So what you think they make me? I'm just another passy. Look like you picked up from the wrong tree. Papa was a Rolling Stone. So what you think they make me? I'm just another passy. How you picked up from the wrong tree? Felt like this wasn't my home. Felt like it wasn't no love. Swear I feel so disconnected. Swear I just needed a plug. Felt like these niggas was fake. Through all the deaths in the hood. Felt like these niggas was snakes. Seeing through the grass in the mud. And papa always told me not to fuck with niggas that ain't rocking with the vision. Hoes will get in your business for your business. Really, it ain't no rules in the trench. So make sure you riding around with extensions. The 40 is on me now like a million. But sewing and touring towns is my business. Straight from the ground up, yeah, bad seat. I got some good ways and some bad deals. Papa was a Rolling Stone, yeah. So what you think they make me? I'm just another passy. Look like you picked up on the wrong tree. Papa was a Rolling Stone. So what you think they make me? I'm just another passy. How you picked up from the wrong tree? Papa was a
in? No, I don't even think I'm plugged in. Am I plugged in now? We here?
We're here
testing 1, 2. The audio is up. I see it, man. What's good, man?
I'm just the talent. I'm not the sound guy.
Yeah, man, it's all right, man. I mean, the talent can also, you know what I'm saying, they always be like, from Aaliyah to Jay-Z, or from Aaliyah to Eminem, niggas be wanting to get turned up in the headphones and shit. Turn me up some more.
Turn me up. What's that nigga on Chappelle? What was that skit on Chappelle where that nigga couldn't catch the beat?
I don't remember. The only time I remember a nigga not catching the beat is years ago, Method Man and Redman had a show on MTV. It was basically punk with Redman and Method Man, and they gave Ludacris one of the hardest beats in the world to ride, and Ludacris kind of rode the beat.
Fisticuffs on Chappelle's show.
Got you. Yeah, oh, man. Now I remember Fisticuffs for real. You know, Chappelle got some classic stuff.
It's like, funny to think that show only lasted 2 years.
It really is, man. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you. The first time I saw an episode of Homeland, and I saw that they had a character named Huck on there. And those of you that listen to the show and they know what, not Homeland, but shit, what's the name of that show?
It was Carrie.
Carrie Washington. Yeah.
I ain't never watched that shit.
The Mistresses. I don't know. Mistress and the President. The Black Lady and the President.
Scandal.
Scandal, that's what it is. Yeah, there we go. First time I saw Scandal, and I saw that character named Huck, and I saw that nigga from Pop Copy. Like, I can't take this show seriously because the dude from Pop Copy is your internet guy.
Yo, man, you know that dude gay in real life? Not that matters, but...
I didn't know that, man. That's like finding out someone is British.
Man, fuck me up the first time. Like, I think we done talked about this. Goddamn Stringer Bell, when I first realized this nigga was British on Takers, I said, man, get this nigga out here with this whack-ass British accent.
Hey, man. Yeah, man. He said himself, man, during the times of working at Stringer Bell, he would go to barbershops to learn the lingo of black people in America because, you know, he would say things like, at first, did you guys see the basketball match or whatnot? And then he quickly learned... He should say, did you see what Kobe did to those niggas last night?
I'm going to tell you what. You ever heard Kristaps Porzingis talk?
I have, man.
Conversation with him and fucking Enes Kanter.
Yes.
Yeah, Enes Kanter is a damn fool. I can't wait till he retires.
I guess power jumped off a little bit. I guess Life Alert is
Life Alert.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Old bitch had Life Alert, probably his own life force right now.
Well, she could be. As a matter of fact, man, pretty soon Alexa gonna be calling ambulances and shit for people.
Speaking of fucking Alexa, how about the other day I'm talking to my wife about fucking hoodies, because I love a good hoodie. I'm hoodie goddamn Carmelo every day. And next thing I know, I'm getting fucking ads in my phone about the latest hoodies and hoodie discount codes and shit like that. Yeah. Man, these motherfuckers can't wait to goddamn steal our shit, can they?
Have you, searched for hoodies on your phone or something?
No, we were texting.
Y'all were texting?
Had nothing to do with me Googling anything.
I'm saying, like, in the past, have you ever? It's been a while. Nike.com or anything like that?
It's been a while. I'm broke right now. I ain't got no Nike money.
I'm just saying, if you don't ever erase cookies in your phone, anything can trigger that they're tracking you. Like, anytime you go to a website, it's like, damn, I just got an ad about this shit that I was just talking about. They got cookie trackers on computers and phones all the time. If you don't erase those cookies.
Yeah, I'm aware of that. All the time. But see, that's the point I'm making. It's different when I'm on a website and then I start getting ads in Facebook, even though I don't have Facebook. That's one thing. It's completely fucking different when I'm texting my wife and then all of a sudden in my goddamn feed, I see an ad for some discount codes for some damn hoodies. Now, that's a totally different invasion of privacy.
Yeah.
I signed up for them cookies and bullshit.
It is.
But I didn't sign up for you reading my goddamn text message.
They didn't.
Because you don't know what the fuck I'm texting in that message.
They didn't sign up for it, but if Batman got a for Joker, man, he gonna have...
Hey, man.
He gonna have motherfucking...
I don't say.
Look, I forgot what his name was. Morgan Freeman. There we
Lucius
go.
Fox.
He gonna have motherfucking Morgan Freeman as his name.
Yeah, a lot of random useless ass facts in my head, man.
He's going to have Morgan Freeman on his side, man. I mean, did you get the Trump text message?
Yeah, I got that bullshit.
Yeah, you pissed me off, right? I couldn't delete that shit. Hoodie. That's why you getting hoodies.
Yeah, man, goddamn.
We just opened ourselves up to a world of bullshit.
You know, motherfuckers be all excited when they catch a damn terrorist that hasn't did some shit. But on the flip side of that, You gotta think how they caught that motherfucker. Same way they tracking him, they tracking your ass.
This is true, man. I've always said, yo, when you see something cool in technology, just be aware that the government has something way better than that. That's just the Pedialyte version you got.
It's like these ignorant ass rednecks talking about they guns and don't tread on me. Motherfucker, if you got that, what you think they got? Your shit goddamn got a semi. They shit fully. Yeah. So what the fuck you think you gonna do?
Yeah, this is true, man.
Pull that pin if you want to.
And on top of that, man, to add something to that, all these motherfuckers that want to buy AR-15s and shit like that never want to shoot anyone else with an AR-15. They don't never get in the gun fights with people with other rifles. They always get in gun fights with people without guns at all.
I mean, quite honestly, you in a gunfight here in the civilian world, what the fucking good is that AR-15? Because the motherfucker with the AR-15 got to get to the AR-15. You're not just walking around with that. Man, but ain't no telling what's under my damn shirt.
This is true, man. I mean, you can walk into.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, I'm under the whole belief that the terrorists won for when 9/11 happened. What the only thing they wanted was to disrupt American culture, and did they not do that?
I mean,
in totality,
they got some attention. I think it was
shit. They got more than attention. Have you been to the airport?
Yeah, I mean, I'm saying it's attention-seeking behavior, and they got all kind of attention after that shit.
Well, I think that they wanted to disrupt and change American society, and we've been on high alert ever since, and willingly gave up a lot of freedoms.
The Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Case of point right there, man, where we can, as a matter of fact, The Wire as a show, that character in particular, the fat dude, Prophet Joe?
Mm-hmm.
Prophet Joe was Prophet Joe because of the Freedom of Information Act. Because of 9/11, he knew that I can get all of this information that happens in these courts on paper. I can just call up. I don't have to use my name. I use someone else's name. I can know everything was going on because now they have to put it on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have said we need to see what y'all are doing, and then in turn we gave up freedoms as well. Like, mm-hmm. it's that simple, man. It's a beautiful thing. The show, The Wire, is a great fucking show.
Yeah, I've watched The Wire in totality, but it was kind of like a background noise for studies.
So
I've watched it and I've paid attention to a few episodes, but I didn't really pay a lot of attention to it.
I stand on. I learned a lot about America from that show, The Wire.
I just familiarized myself with the people so I could have conversations like this.
It makes sense. It makes sense. But great show.
When a motherfucker come to me and be like, my name is my name. He's like, I know what you're talking about, nigga.
Pusha T, nigga? Are you Pusha T?
Nah, I saw it, the original. My name is my name, nigga.
My name is my name.
Ain't that how they ended the series? Wasn't it?
My name was my name.
Was it Rollo?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad dude right there. I understand the transition, though. I missed some shit, because like I said, my attention span ain't but so long.
The transition from Stringer now to Rollo?
Yeah.
Well, that transition was jail, and then it was like the Wild West. So they sort of just moved in because they were disappearing niggas.
Oh, so they didn't really do nothing like, oh, Stringer Bell's dead, now we're going to bring Rollo to the front.
Nah.
But Rollo didn't ever battle with Stringer Bell?
Nah, never. Okay. They never.
So it wasn't no Game of Thrones type shit.
Nah,
it wasn't that.
It wasn't that. They was basically disappearing. They was killing
contracts
them.
Contracts wasn't
them, right. Putting them in abandoned buildings or whatnot. Mm. So
what you're telling me, Stringer got too big, he wanted more money, and they just pushed him out. You know, a lot of your favorite shows be deaded by contracts and a bunch of background bullshit.
What happened with Stringer? Stringer, in my opinion, he died on the hill he didn't have to die on. He was trying to legitimize a multi-million dollar drug empire with a community college associate's degree. Like, in hindsight, that shit is crazy. And he was moving like he had all this shit prepared for a nigga that didn't want to do it. Like, you partners with a nigga that don't want any part of that shit. And he himself don't believe in your community college degree. It's not me speaking. I'm saying he, like, what's his name? Barksdale. Avon Barksdale didn't believe into that shit. Like, nah, I'm a street nigga. This is what I'm going to do. So he got killed by trying to be bigger than that nigga, and that nigga just got caught up just doing dumb street shit, because without Stringer Bell, the smart nigga, he gonna always fuck up.
Well, I get that. You refresh my memory on it or whatever. But that's life in general, because it's always two sides to every coin. They kind of the two sides of the same person. They came in that shit together. One had a vision. The other had a vision that wasn't in line with the original vision.
Yeah.
Avon's vision was, I'm going to be the biggest nigga in these streets that's ever lived. And Stringer saw a vision that said, fuck the streets. I'm going to set some shit up for my family.
Yeah.
But it's fucked up in the sense that I don't really remember Stringer having a family per se.
No, he didn't.
But Avon was all about family.
Yeah, he didn't have family. And Avon was trying to tell him that when they see you, all they see is a nigga, man. They don't see what
but
you think you're trying
to
be.
That's my point. So, but Avon had a sister, had his nephew,
had
a actual family, right?
Yes.
So the shit Stringer wanted to do, Avon should have been in line with, because that's all he ever talked about was my sister, my nephew, take care of my family. When he was locked up, throw this to my sister, throw this to my nephew, bring my nephew up to speed. I want him to be my lieutenant, blah, 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 whatever. So to Avon's point, that's like anything in life, though. I feel like there's in a lot of situations that I'm in because I'm the only nigga in these situations. A la the shit I'm going through right now, going through this fucking program. First nigga in 2 years to be in the program. So it's like, out of 50 fucking people, you tell me I'm the only nigga who was qualified?
Yeah.
So, and again, I mean, like I said, we spoke on this shit before. I'm in a situation where I'm looking at this shit and I'm like the only nigga out of 50 fucking people who've been through this. Only the second nigga in four classes, so that's two niggas out of 100. So 2% of the 100 people that you put through this motherfucker was me. And you mean to tell me it's only 2% of us in these streets that can do this shit? But at the same time, to back to the point, it's like this. So I'm in here with all these white folks. What do they see? They don't talk to me. We don't have much conversation.
This is true, man.
The instructors are pretty, you know, they're pretty straight, but
they're cordial.
They're cordial. Yeah, they're cordial, cordial enough. You know. Yeah. I fuck up. They pull me to the side. Hey, you know, I think you can do better. I like y'all. I want to see you succeed.
We don't see
but my success
come through here, yeah, basically, and I'm not one of them. It's not on me.
But my success and their success is predicated in one and the other, because if I fail, they fail because
that's
they picked
true.
The wrong one.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, man. It's almost like the situation of the spook who sat by the door.
Exactly.
Like, man, it's an amazing concept. I was just, Arian Foster, by the way. I don't know if you've ever seen
him. Yeah, I watch his podcast.
The other day, I finally watched the one he had with Mamani Jones. Mamani Jones was talking about the...
That new...
No, it's not new. That shit was a few months ago.
I hadn't seen. I hadn't listened to him in a few months. Yeah, I think the last one I thought was
a long time since I listened to him.
Like Scarface was, I think, the last one I listened to. So it's been a long time since I listened to him. No, matter of fact, I tell you, but I think it was old when I listened to it. Joe Budden, which I thought him and Joe Budden would have had a lot more in common than what they did, but they really didn't.
Well, I'll have to go back and watch that. The only one I've ever watched was the one with Snoop Dogg. So this one right here with Monty Jones was...
I'm going to tell you, I love Snoop Dogg to death, but I don't listen to his interviews because I don't think I have much to learn from him.
Well, I like to see people meet their heroes.
Yeah, but I don't give a
fuck. I like to see that.
See, here's my thing. Like Kanye West has proven this. I don't really ever want to meet my heroes because I feel like the person who I've made them out to be in my mind is never going to live up to who they truly are.
This is true. I mean, it's a J. Cole.
So, and that being said, like, I like Snoop Dogg in the interviews. He's fun, you know, those type of interviews. I don't see him get with a fucking Arian Foster and have a real interview, because what the fuck is Snoop really going
to
talk about?
I mean, you should watch the interview to try to understand what Snoop was talking about. But
I know he do a lot of good shit in the community.
He was trying to make some very valid points by saying he was talking about Make America Crip Again. And he was talking about not the rhyming and stealing part of the Crip, but the...
what it was in the originally for.
The game protecting the neighborhood sort of Crip. So he was having, like, some of those kinds of...
a legitimate conversation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The reason I would watch something like that as opposed to anyone else interviewing Snoop is, like, Snoop is a fan of Arian Foster. So,
well,
you
Snoop's
got,
a fan of football.
That's what I'm saying. So you got someone like Arian Foster who he respects interviewing him about shit that he's willing to listen to. It goes easier. Like, peers interviewing peers makes for a better interview. Well, it turns the interview into a conversation. mm-hmm. rather than just what you got, yada, yada, okay.
I feel like that one with him and Bomani Jones, I've not listened to it, but you ever listened to the Evening Jones when Bomani gets away from ESPN?
Yes.
I can't wait till he quits ESPN.
Bruh, it's like that. Because that's the point, one of the points I was about to bring up. He was like, the advantages, one of the main advantages of going to an HBCU, it's like, you ain't got to worry about that racism shit, at least for the time that you're there during school. You don't have to worry about someone thinking beside you, like, why is he there? Or,
why are you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, and that's what brought that shit back. Like, you should really watch that fucking interview because it's a dope concept. But outside of that, you're already there. You're in it now. You got to go through it. It's craziness, but that's it, man. That's why I would. It's one reason I propose any child that's willing to at least explore an HBCU, because that's you can get a degree without having to worry about that extra shit for at least 4 years, man.
I've never really considered an HBCU. One, it was solely based on expense. Couldn't afford one because
a lot of my
I didn't come from a poor upbringing, and I didn't come from a lot of money. But at the same time,
enough to make school too goddamn expensive.
Just enough to make it too damn expensive, and I pay for all my shit. So you know, I went to school straight out of high school. I fucked that up. Came home, decided to get my shit together. Almost fucked it up a second time. And then decided I was finally going to get my shit together. Had a lot of other stuff going on that really ain't got shit to do with the store. But, you know, that's part of the reason why I fucked it up. But I finally got it to the point where, you know, I'm in a situation where, you know, I'm getting it together. And I'm proud and of being able to do what I'm currently doing. But at the same time, appreciative of the fact that I'm able to do it. Because there's a lot of people who I feel were smarter and more talented than I who should have did it. And are not, or have not, or will not do it.
True shit, man.
So, yeah, I put life in perspective.
Yeah, you do.
But the whole Bomani Jones and Arian Foster, I feel like there could be some contention there because you have two highly intelligent people in the room, and I don't feel like one is willing to give up ground to the other because they're going to prove who's the smartest. And Bomani has a doctorate, and Arian Foster went to UTK.
Yeah, man. It's an interesting dynamic, nonetheless.
Yeah.
It's a great hour of it's about 73 minutes total, I think. But yeah, man, it's a great hour and 10-15 minutes of just conversation, of just learning, like one dude really learning from the other, like, oh shit, I never thought about it that way. Oh shit. But shit like that is dope. But what else is there? Seeing like that conversation could have came to an end with Arian and Bomani coming to
a happy meeting spot.
That's a mesh. I'm talking about a mesh in what I got from Bomani listening to him yesterday, and as a HBCU aspect, tying into you being two of 200.
Bomani is interesting to me, man, because when I first started watching this nigga on TV, I didn't know who he was, first of all. I didn't really give a damn about him. I don't even know how the fuck I got into Bomani, but I feel like Bomani is a bit of an asshole on the Evening Jones, but at the same time, it's like you respect the man's intellect,
you respect,
and he lets you know. But it's like never be afraid to be who you are, because it's like he knows, like, I'm probably the smartest person in the room. I'm not gonna just tell you I'm the smartest person in the room. I'm gonna show you, but I'm not gonna tolerate dumb shit either.
Do you capture those stories he talks about his mom?
I've heard him talk about his mom and his dad both being doctors, but that's the other side of that. And then also having a brother that's what, 13 years older than him.
Yeah, I've never met his dad, never seen his dad, but I took his mom's economics class. That nigga for real. Like, his mom is just like...
Oh, at she's at A&M?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, she just retired just recently. But that lady, one of the first things she said, and I'll never forget this shit, she said, economics is one way. I can't make this easy for y'all. I was like, God damn. I hate fucking math. Mm-hmm. But she's just like the way he describes it. And the way he is makes sense. Like you said, both his parents are educators in fucking higher learning institutions. His dad was kicked out of school and then ended up getting back in school on some protest shit. So, yeah, man, he comes from a different perspective. And he even talks about that because he mentions the incident he had when he wore the Caucasian shirt. You know what I'm saying? He was like, he got some good advice. Like, with that shirt on, no one is hearing what you're saying. You know what I'm saying? So you may be making a solid protest against Chief Wahoo. Congratulations, but nobody paying attention.
It's a nice hat you got on, speaking of Chief Wahoo.
I mean, that's a Blackhawks hat, man. And I got it from my brother. Hey, man.
Somerville, Chattooga, Indian.
Hey, man, we engines around this bitch, I guess.
But
man,
on the flip side of that, I guess to what you're saying, damn, I lost my train of thought.
I thought about making, first of all, I'm going to make some podcast by another name shirts. And I thought about making a Caucasian shirt myself after watching the interview. But I think I'm going to settle for just making the podcast by another name shirts.
Because your two engine shirts, you going to make that one too?
Nah.
Man, you get ran out of here. Oh, to Bo Monty's point. That's the other thing about it, man. It's like, I don't know, did you listen to him talk about this became a Bo Monty Jones episode. The episode of his show, Right Time, when they go over Friday Night Lights, the book, not the movie.
Yes.
So he talked about in one of the podcasts about the fact that where he was from, he never really experienced racism on that level to where you, like, we're from Somerville, yeah, Chattooga County, Georgia. I've never experienced racism on that level that you see on television, like getting cursed out the stores and so forth and so on. I've experienced racism, but it was subtle racism.
Yeah.
It was, you know, we're going to wait to serve you after we serve all these other people. Yeah, we're going to do some stuff to let you know, but we're not just going to outright call you a nigga. I've never been outright called a nigga. I have been treated as a nigga, but I've never been outright called a nigga. So anyway, he said in one of the podcasts, it was like, you know, the fact that his parents was who they were and he was their son. He was looked at and treated as one of the good ones. Like, he was, like, they talked about it, that the difference between a nigga and being black was based on the person who was describing you as such. So if the white person decided you was a nigga, you was a nigga. If the white person decided you was black, then that meant you were one of the good ones. And that's what he said he felt like, that he did not realize until he was older that they treated him in a manner that a lot of people were not afforded the same dignity. So he was treated as a black growing up in the part of Texas that he grew up in.
True.
Where some of his peers were treated as
straight niggas.
So,
I mean, that makes perfect sense for who his parents are and his upbringing. I mean, and to go back to the Arian Foster interview, they talk about when he was talking about HBCUs, said since both of his parents taught at HBCUs and he's meeting the top people from this institution and that institution, it never came into his mind that an HBCU was lesser than. These people are hiring my parents. My parents smart as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so he looked at it totally different, even from that level.
And then when you are in a situation where you're able to meet people who are already on a higher platform, you come off with a different perspective because you don't realize what the world outside of that is.
Nah, it's what I like to call an artificial environment.
That's what me and you got into the argument the other day. I felt like we was having the whole hot water at Applebee's thing. That had nothing to do with race, bro. That had nothing to do with race.
Hey, man.
My point was, in that situation, as a parent, your one and only job, regardless of the situation, is to calm yourself because you must take care of this person. Now, that was my whole point, was that racism is a thing, but racism does not play a issue, is not the key factor in all situations.
Look, I understand what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying. I'm just saying, at the same time, there is a relationship that is formed between our community and dialing 911. It ain't always safe to dial 911 for no reason.
It's different than when you call 911 because your son at the house showing out, and mm-hmm. you know that could end his life, as opposed to your son who is 17 months old sitting here suffering from first and second degree burns, and you need to get him to the fucking hospital to get treatment.
This is true, man. But now, we don't. Now,
I get that.
People,
I get that. I don't like calling 911.
As black people, I don't get to decide how 911 responds to us.
Yes, you get to. But so had they called, let's set this up. Had they called 911 and the shit went left real quick, I can't be mad at them for calling 911. I can be mad at the assholes who showed up from 911. However, in this situation, they chose not to call 911 for 20 fucking minutes. Now, you ask me, would it have changed anything had they called 911 sooner? I don't know. You told me the other day that we can't talk about hypotheticals. You were very explicit in the fact that we don't talk about hypotheticals because we'll never know. I don't fucking know. I do know that me personally, if that was my child, or my little cousin, or my niece, or my nephew, it would not have been a fucking thought in my mind to whether or not how I'm gonna feel about the police who show up, because I need to get them taken care of. My well-being doesn't matter because theirs takes precedent.
I understand that, man. And you talking to a nigga that found a baby outside at 3 o'clock in the morning and had to go put on a full uniform before I called the police for someone to come get this nigga from my doorway. Black people don't trust the police no matter what. They don't trust 911 for shit. Yeah. And sometimes that happens. And also, to compound that, people react to trauma differently. Like, sitting there with that scalding water trying to put ointment or whatever they did for 20 minutes on that kid.
So
fucking stupid. But so, that's how they responded to trauma. And at the end of the day...
So back up. So people do respond differently to trauma, all right? But... it was a table full of people. If I remember reading the article correctly, it was a mom, it was a dad, it was an aunt, and it was a cousin. Okay. Out of them four people, let's say half the world only carries a cell phone, even though this is America. And we know before you pay your damn light bill, you will pay your cell phone bill. And we're not going to say all four of them have cell phones. All right. This child is 17 months old. So let's take two people tending to the child, two people sitting there screaming and hollering. One of them could have been fussing with the waitress, and the other one had nothing to do. They could have simply called 911.
One of them could have snatched the kid up and rushed him to the hospital.
I give them the benefit of the doubt because
and left the other three niggas there.
I give them the benefit of the doubt that this is New York. I'm not familiar with New York, but when I think of New York, I think of metropolitan cities, even though I know the majority of New York is not like that.
Looks like Syracuse.
Yeah, so I don't know if they had a car or not. So I'm not even going to throw out the situation. They could have put the child in the car and drove him to a medical center. All I'm saying is sometimes we got to take ourselves out of the situation of, oh my God, I don't want to deal with the police, because who the fuck does? The police don't want to deal with the fucking police. You think they go home every day happy to be fucking police for the majority of these people?
No, not a lot of them, man. A lot of them are happy to go home.
And this is the problem right here. Like, okay, I don't get me wrong. I'm not on the side of the police. But I do agree that there needs to be some sort of rebuilding. There needs to be some rebranding. Because even when you have the police, what's the first thing people say? We need to put people from the community in the community. And what's the first thing they do? They abuse the power. So there's a disconnect on all sides and all parties. The faction of what the police are and what they represent
is
been changed over time from what it initially was, which was a racist outlook or racist post to keep niggas in check, to what it is today and to what it's supposed to be. Like, I feel like there is a way that there can be some living up to the principles that are set forth without the racism involved. But let's keep it real, bro. This is America. It's always gonna be racism involved in everything. Even when you put blacks in situations, you get blacks that forget who they are, and then now they feel like they are this instead of what they were born as.
You become, you know what I'm saying, part of the system that I mean, you become an extra wrench, an extra bolt, just something to keep the system going. I mean, a black cop only has so much power as a black man. Because at the end of the day, he's going to have to back up that other cop.
Oh, you take that uniform off, you just another nigga.
Yeah, man. I mean, but a lot of times, man, like for jobs and shit, that uniform, especially that uniform in particular, just something he going to go along with just for that check. He's not worried about the individuals that he patrols or anything like that. There's no way he can be worried about that shit and work there, too. Like, that's... It's alright, man. It's almost like that scene from Don't Be a Menace.
Which one?
The one with Bernie Mac pulling niggas over.
Oh yeah.
I hate black pepper. I hate Whoopi Goldberg's lips. I hate the back of Forrest Whitaker's neck. You know, I hate my gums because they black. Like, yeah. Sometimes you just get that, man. And sometimes you get, like, you know what I'm saying? I've never had, you know, this experience, but, you know what I'm saying? But I've heard a lot of people say they get the worst experience from the black cops because, especially got a white partner, it's like you going above and beyond a Call of Duty, goddamn, man. Why you proving it?
Hey, I ain't going to tell you no lie. I done been in a situation where I was coming back from wherever I was coming back from, let's say I had a shit I shouldn't have had, got pulled over by this nice white officer, and he sat there and had a nice little conversation with me. You know, he pulled me over. He said, "Can you search the car?" I'd rather that you didn't. Is there anything in the car? Like, nah, I'm just chilling, officer. I done heard bad stories. So, you know, I got talked to him, looked at my license. He knew one of my relatives who I wasn't even close with, and got sidetracked on some other shit. And hell, I'm here to tell the story today because, like I said, he wasn't an asshole. He wasn't a dick. He wasn't this. He wasn't that. So, like I said, I have no quarrels with police as a whole. I give you another story. Now, this right here is fact, and you know, I can tell this now. I was in a situation where I shouldn't have been doing some shit I shouldn't have been doing, and decided to, you know, my best interest was to get away from the police officers who wanted me to stay where I was. So I got away, ran, got away from the motherfuckers, did what I had to do, got away. So I'm out in the damn woods, called my father, "Hey, Pops, going to jail, just want to let you know, come see about me." All right, so hang the phone up. It's 8-9 o'clock at night, so it's kind of dark. So I'm out in the woods. It's Georgia, so I'm out in the woods, pine trees, whatever. I'm out in the woods, hands on my head, lying on the ground, face down. I don't want no problems beyond the problems I've already caused. So as I lay there, four officers finally find me. Dog finds me first. Thank God they didn't turn the damn dog loose on me. But the dog finds me first. Then I'm surrounded by four white officers. So they ask me, "Where the fucking drugs, nigga? We know you got the drugs, nigga." Well, I lied. This is the one time I have been called a nigga. "We know you got the shit, nigga. Where the fuck is it?" "I don't have shit. I don't know what you're talking about. Take me to jail." "Nah, you got the fucking drugs, nigga. Where the fuck the drugs at?" "I don't have no fucking drugs. And why the fuck you ran?" "Cause it's a bunch of fucking white dudes chasing me." Like, goddamn, let's flip this. If it was a bunch of niggas chasing you, what the fuck would you have done? "So, well, you got some fucking drugs." "I don't have shit. Take me to jail. Take me where the fuck you gonna take me." All right, point of my story. This guy proceeds to say, "All right, he don't want to cooperate. Cut your lights off. We gonna show him what we do to niggas like him. Uppity smart mouth niggas." I'm thinking to myself, well, this ain't gonna be fun, but let's get it over. So about that time, I'm already handcuffed. I'm on the ground, laying face down on the ground. I'm handcuffed. About that time, I feel somebody pick me up by my hands and the back of my shirt. Nah, we don't do that around here. It's the oldest, reddest, you know he done said nigga 100 times. Probably called my granddaddy a nigga in the lunchroom as they was, you know, going to sit at the table together. That type of red. Old motherfucker. Probably 100 years old. Probably 3 days from retirement. Had this been a week later, I'd be dead right now. So, picked me up. Said, "We don't do that. We're not going to treat him like that. We're not going to call him them names. If you're going to arrest him, arrest him. If you're not, let him go. But he's going with me." Put me in the back of his car because he said, "I don't trust y'all to put him in y'all car." So, like I said, my experiences with police is totally different than some other people's experience. I should be telling a story about getting my ass whooped by the police, but I can't tell that story because that's not my experience. So, like I said, I know it's a bunch of dirty motherfuckers out there, and I don't fuck with the police, but I'm not ever going to say that all police are bad people because they're not.
Yeah, I mean, that's with anything, man. It's the people that are police are not bad as a whole. The system of policing is done wrong.
It is done wrong.
That's just the point I make. A lot of people call things excuses, but I like to introduce those things as variables. Like, there are thousands of reasons for a nigga not to call the police, warrants and shit like that, or find, think, like, we know that if black people do something or something happens to black people that it makes national news, we're going to find out all the illegal shit in somebody's past. Like, case in point with the baby who ended up in a goddamn pit with Harambe, the gorilla. How do we find out his daddy been to jail, bro?
Because that's the journalist. Journalists looking for any damn thing to talk about.
Now,
what the fuck does that have to do with the baby being in the pit? I get that.
It has nothing to do with the baby being in the pit. But things like this in situations where it should be about saving a child.
Well, that's not about the police. That's about society trying to cloud a judgment against the person who is being persecuted in that situation or the person who is being affected in that situation.
And the person who is being affected in that situation, we can't control how they react.
Speak to something that speaks directly to police about the white bitch that killed her neighbor because she was at the wrong damn house. Now, all of a sudden, we know this man smoked weed. He had weed in the house, da-da-da. You weren't there to search the house for whatever the fuck he was doing because he's dead. You're there to find evidence to either prove or disprove the case against the police officer that killed him.
Well, there has to be a reason as to why she would kill him. So that's what they're doing when they...
But that's irrelevant.
They issued the search warrant on his house.
That's irrelevant in my mind, and I don't know the law behind it, because you came to his house, unbeknownst to you, you weren't on duty. There were no calls or reports that said that they could smell marijuana in the residence. He didn't show aggression. You were the one acting aggressively. So you had no reason to kill this man. So the fact that you found marijuana in his place of residence has no effect on the outcome of what happened.
But
I get that.
You're not wrong in what you're saying.
Oh, I agree with what you're saying. I'm saying as a...
And part of what happened in this whole case, this is how they ended up getting a search warrant. They got a search warrant for his home, even though he's the one that has been murdered, trying to see what they could do for her. You understand? Like,
yeah.
Like, we're going to have to charge you with something. So, shit, what is your story? Okay, we're going to check that out. So, that's the story we're going with. Let's go ahead and see if we can get a warrant.
But it's the same shit as always. You had neighbors that said they heard her knocking on the door. They heard her yelling, "Let me in." They've seen her there before, so they believe, or it has been said that
he had police gear in his house.
Yeah, that they was fucking. So it sounds to me like a scorned lover. She probably thought there was another bitch in the house. When she came to the house, she's drunk because, if I remember, didn't she just come home from a bar or some shit like that?
Yeah, in uniform.
In uniform, she's drunk, and that's another thing. Like, I don't understand. When I worked at the hospital, I couldn't go to Applebee's and have a drink with my work shirt on. I had to change clothes before I went into Applebee's.
Same thing.
Even if I was in my family.
Same thing in the military. It's supposed to be like, especially if you know you're finna get drunk, if someone offers you a drink, is this one or two?
Oh no, it was worse than that. I couldn't have a drink. If I was caught with a beer in my hand, if somebody was to take pictures of me on Facebook, not even my Facebook, but let's say I'm on your Facebook, somebody that works at Floyd just happens to see me, or my ex-job just happens to see me with the beer in my hand, and then they call and report that, I would be terminated right there on the spot.
It makes sense, man. It makes sense. So, yeah. So, it's a lot of variables with that, man. And, you know, that's the thing about waiting for the facts. When they say wait for the facts, what that tells me, and saying that's a trigger word that they would say, or a trigger phrase that they would say, what that means is that you need enough time to come up with some cockamamie story to sell legally. It doesn't have to make sense emotionally or make sense to the public. It just has to make sense on paper. And that's what that's basically what they're setting us up for right here on this one, because that shit weird, man. Police weren't called you off work. You drunk. You shot a nigga.
I don't understand. Like, if, I don't mean
shoes on the other foot. Black dude walk to a white lady door and shoot her. You know, like, nigga, come on, bro. That's
me playing devil's advocate. I know a dude who went to jail because his ass, but it was different. It was different. It was similar, but it's not the same. He was going to one of his friend's house that lived in this apartment complex. The difference was it wasn't a high rise type apartment complex. It was, all the apartments were on level ground. They all looked the same. So you could walk from one to the other and be confused. So I say that. So basically he was on a apartment subdivision. It wasn't apartment high rise.
Gotcha.
So, he went to jail because he went into these people's house. He thought it was his friend's house. Now that's the first thing. He wasn't at his actual home. He was at a friend's house. went in the people's house, pissed on they pissed on they coffee table, and fell asleep on the couch. So he wakes up, people that live there looking over the top of him, dogs barking, da, da, da. He cusses them out, saying, what the fuck y'all doing here? Because he thought he was at his friend's house. Now, he went to jail for breaking and entering, disorderly conduct, and a bunch of other shit. And so, I mean, stupid shit happens.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he didn't knock on somebody's door in a high rise that was his actual house. And you was on a whole completely wrong fucking floor to do this shit. And if I remember the story right, the apartments that they lived in weren't even directly over the top of one another, were they?
I think they were. Were they? But he had a mat, a red doormat. She did not.
She didn't have.
That's it right there.
Okay.
Nigga, you got a doormat. You know whether
that's
or not
right,
you got
because
a doormat.
Her excuse was she could hear the loud music.
Yeah.
From coming from beneath her.
Yeah. Yeah. Like. And people said they've heard her screaming in the past before and stuff like that. So we're just waiting for them. We're waiting to see what kind of bullshit they're going to try to sell us, man, like in the court system.
Honestly, man, we probably won't hear no more about that shit unless we keep an eye on it our damn selves.
I mean,
speaking of bullshit, you love to talk about Bill Cosby. What about Harvey Weinstein getting some of the charges dropped?
Hey, man, as we should expect. We should expect nothing less. Like, there's only been one casualty in the Me Too movement. That's Bill Cosby.
Hey, I don't fuck with Bill Cosby, but that is
some
bullshit.
I don't fuck with Bill Cosby, but I'm saying, like, if we're going to get... just Bill Cosby, nigga? Really?
But it's fucked up that the police the DA threw the charges out because it seemed like the police allegedly coached one of the victims.
Yeah.
So it wasn't all the charges. It was just the charges in relation to that bitch.
Yeah, I mean, he gonna see some more, but he'll never see the inside of a jail cell. I don't.
How you feel about the whole Me Too movement?
I think the Me Too movement is, it's funny, man, because I know a lot of rapists, man.
Putting water bottle in water in vodka bottles and shit.
Yeah, whether or not I had sex with those women, only they and I know that. Ha ha ha! I'm kidding. Didn't have sex with them when they're intoxicated. I know, like I said, I know a few rapists, man. I know one situation I was involved in college where a nigga called me at like 2 or 3 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I went down to his apartment and, him and another nigga was in there discussing this shit, nigga. And I kept saying, nigga, if you didn't rape her, bro, why we need to come up with a story?
The truth ain't good enough.
You know what I'm saying? Why we need to come up with a story? So you keep coming back, and then we went through, I went through the sexual experience with him, and I explained to him what consent and coercion was. Homie only ended up getting suspended for a semester. The girl ended up leaving school and all that shit, but I know a lot of rapists, at least four.
Mm-hmm.
One was a situation where the girl said this nigga raped her, but a little further down the line, she actually had consensual sex with him. That was weird, but... Yeah.
So he raped her the first time, and then they had sex.
Yeah, that shit was weird, but she was a weird girl. But it was no doubt that bitch was passed out the first time he went in there. So, yeah. So, the Me Too movement is weird to me, but I don't think it'll go as far as to get regular niggas. Because regular niggas ain't got
nothing
clout.
There's nothing to...
That's gonna make this woman famous. Like 10 years or 5 years later, I got raped by Roscoe Dash. Well, not Roscoe Dash. That's a bad example. I got raped by Roscoe McGillicuddy.
Yeah, there's nothing. But at the same time, like I said, I know people who have claimed rape, and then all of a sudden there's no rape charges. I'm like, so what happened? My whole take on the shit is, if there's going to be consequences, they need to go both ways, because you need to have something in place to say, okay, if this is what happened, then we need to figure this out. However, if you just saying some shit to fuck with somebody, then you need to be dealt with accordingly.
That's true.
I'm not against it at all. I'm not, because like you said, I ain't never been in a situation where I don't know no niggas that firsthand raped no bitches. I know some niggas that's been in some compromising situations that it possibly could have been, and I could see, like you said, It's just the fact of the matter, man. It's a different.
They're saying, why we got to come up with this story?
I ain't never had to come up with no story.
Saying, that's what I'm
but
I asked it straight
like
up.
You said before, it was a different time where you saying you getting buying drinks, getting bitches drunk, because you know what you're trying to do. But it was like the bitch got drunk willingly.
Yes.
And I ain't for shit, because it was probably a situation where we kind of talked about this beforehand. The alcohol was the excuse. Yeah.
We know what's up. Everybody knows what's up. Knows
Yeah. It wasn't like it was just some random bitch that I've never met before and she's passed out on the damn couch. And I decided, or I knew somebody that just decided to damn do what they felt like doing to her. But I'm sure this shit goes on every fucking day, especially at campuses and places across America.
Man, hell
but that's
yeah.
the thing. So, like, Dr. Ford or whatever said this nigga attempted to rape her back in 86. Attempted to rape her in 86. All right, so like you said, you don't know who Roscoe McGillicuddy is going to be 30 years in the future. Roscoe McGillicuddy could come up with an idea that damn changes the world, and all of a sudden he got bitches coming out the woodworks. That's why there needs to be some statues on this shit.
Watch the Van Jones, Dave Chappelle interview today as well, because Dave Chappelle talks about that. He's like, I grew up in that area in that time. In that time, if Dr. Ford were to go to the authorities in 1986 and say that Brett, he said, ain't nobody gonna do nothing to him. Not with a name like Brett Kavanaugh. Not in D.C., not in that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, even if she
But they still not. Yeah. No, that shit has not changed. They still not.
Look, they, when I say they in this case, I'm gonna say people that are suspected racists and people that are conservatives on TV, they have the same kind of qualities. Even though sometimes they're not the same people. A racist person is more offended by you calling him racist than anything else. Just like they were offended not by the action, but how dare you bring this shit up today? How dare you bring this shit up now?
That's the other side of it that I kind of understand, but I don't necessarily agree with. And like I said, I'm not a woman. I'm not at liberty to tell a woman how to feel, what to do, or what they should or shouldn't do. I'm not trying to say that. However, what I am saying is, if some shit happens, there's statutes to everything other than murder, if I'm not mistaken.
Murder is the only one.
I know that he wasn't under actual criminal investigation or whatever, and I don't even know what the statute is on rape, if that's the case.
It's like, it's about 15 years, something like that, because they got Bill Cosby.
Well, they got Bill Cosby damn near.
They got him just
9 years, 355 days to the day, because if he would have waited 356 days, he would have been cool. They fucked Bill Cosby, but that DA that retired is the one that fucked Bill Cosby.
True.
So all I'm saying is, man, there needs to be some statutes on this. Now, you can assassinate a character whenever. But at the same time, as far as criminal liability and stuff like that, that's more or less what I'm speaking on.
Yeah, but that's what this was for. This was about assassinating this character. We're having this conversation, the national conversation about rape, because a dude trying to get voted on the Supreme Court. Like, that's an issue. Like, that's fucked up in a sense right there.
Change the subject
in
a minute.
Somebody that could have possibly attempted to rape a woman is going to be voting yay or nay on Roe versus Wade.
But flip it to why they don't want him on there. Because they don't want him voting, well, like you just said, voting yay and nay on Roe versus Wade. They think he's going to vote to overturn.
Propensity to overturn
Roe v. Wade. So you got a suspected rapist that's going to overturn Roe v. Wade so that these women get pregnant by a rapist, can't go get an abortion. All because a suspected racist said he also said that contraception was akin to abortion.
Yeah.
There's never been
He's probably Catholic.
Probably so.
He's probably Catholic. That's why he doesn't care about abortion.
And I never understood.
It goes against God.
And I don't understand how the Catholics, not necessarily Catholics, but the conservatives are the ones who really love to talk about personal responsibility, taking care of whatever it is consequences for your actions, but then they love to get into other people's business. Makes absolutely no sense.
I mean, that's
don't tread on me, but you need to listen to what I need or what I got to tell you in as far as how to live your life, but don't tread on me.
And it's almost like the First Amendment in their eyes is like, I get to say whatever it is I want to say, without consequences. It's basically how that is. But as far as something else you just said, I remember in school, in high school with Miss Jordan, at that point, I really didn't realize how conservative she was.
Oh, yeah, bitch hated me.
She had us writing, watching The O'Reilly Factor.
I never did that. I remember you telling me about that shit, though. Yeah. Bitch hated me.
You know, so I remember watching that. You know, so I remember her during these back-and-forth debates, she was like, you can't legislate good parenting. And that's basically all conservatives try to do is legislate other people's living rooms.
It was an episode of
in your house and your bedroom and your doctor's office. Like, in these private places, that's all they try. In your church, they legislate what's going on in your private life.
Fucked up because it was founded allegedly upon religious freedom. But nobody's free to practice their religion unless you're a Christian.
And here's the thing. I think a lot of times we accept these ideas that they're being said, and we don't really focus on the words. I do believe America was founded on religious freedom, in a sense, but it was a response to not being able to do something versus to we gonna go over here.
I'm gonna tell you, America wasn't founded on none of that shit. America was founded on you can't tell me what to do.
I'm gonna do whatever it is I need to do.
No, I'm gonna do whatever it is in opposition to what it is you tell me to do. That's what America was founded upon. All that other shit didn't matter. Because like you said, they told England, nah, I'm not paying you. Okay. They told England, nah, I'm cool. I'm not going to worship your king or who your king tells me to worship.
We got all this over here.
So that's what America was founded upon. And so now fast forward to today, the same thing it was founded upon is in direct opposition to how things are transpiring. So I say that to say, like I said, you tell me, I'm gonna pay you taxes. Like, nah, I'm cool on that over there. But you're gonna come to me and tell me, oh, we good up here because we rich. We don't really need to pay no taxes. We giving y'all jobs, but y'all need to kick in because my driveway fucked up and I need the city to come take care of that.
And it's funny because like conservatives will tell you they hate socialism, but rich conservatives.
That's all it is.
Love flood insurance because flood insurance ain't nothing but socialism. Flood insurance is set up to the point where that shit is unaffordable. If the government does not subsidize that shit, no one could afford it. So therefore, that shit is affordable. No,
take this, that part of Florida. So check it out. In 15 years, 10, 15 years, may not even be that long, that part of Florida that just was hit by the hurricane,
yeah.
Oh, it ain't be nothing but fucking high-rises, condos. It's going to be a vacationer's paradise in about 10 years because all those people who, like you just said, didn't have insurance because they never get hit by hurricanes in that part or they never get hit by hurricanes to this degree are not properly insured, are not going to be able to rebuild, are going to have to sell their shit. You're going to get nothing for it.
Yep.
So one big industrialist or a real estate conglomerate is going to come in, buy all that shit for nothing. And just build.
Hurry up and buy.
Hurry up and
buy. While the iron's hot, man. But that's the American way, man. And another thing I was about to say, when you're talking about the American dream and our culture, so to speak, to me, man, I can see that shit in foreigners more so than I can see it in Americans. And case in point, Conor McGregor was adopted by the Americans during this last fight. But the person who stood up for honor and family and shit like that is the Muslim dude when America's all about that honor, courage, and commitment,
but back
and,
up one
and
step.
Having the greater good over money.
But
like,
back up one step, the dude from Dagestan.
Yes.
Who, if I'm not... So,
the Russian Muslim.
That's what I'm about to say. The Dagestan is propped up by Russia, right? Yeah. And he talked about Putin.
Yes.
So you got the Russian Muslim on one side, and then you got McGregor on the other side.
The Irish Catholic.
I mean... Why does that not make sense to you?
It's just beautiful to see, but that's like, even listen to the interviews of other fighters talk about the fight, the lead up and then the aftermath of the fight. Just them out of their mouths as American citizens, people who believe in this atmosphere that we live in, it's foreign even to them. It's like.
But no, it makes perfect sense because what is Conor McGregor but the ultimate capitalist? He even said in the damn ring, it's all about money, bro. Like, it's just a fight.
It's you know what I'm saying? And one of my favorite quotes to hear a boxer commentator say, only hoes say shit like boxing is a business. And when he was like, it's only business. Yeah, it was. But he's serious about that. Like, he bought that life, man. You disrespected everything he stand for. You got to get these hands, man.
Well, but, you know, like I said, football and contact sports such as boxing and UFC is the only things you can't have step in that shit. And it is about business. It is all a business. But,
you can't play football. You definitely can't play MMA or boxing.
Shit, you can't even play football at a certain level because you get your fucking life took half stepping coming across the middle. Not in the NFL in 2018, but.
Well, Snar said that they hit harder in college than they do in the pros. And I thought about it and I was like, it would make sense because somebody trying to get somewhere. I thought about the movie The Program. It's like, oh, they trying to get to the next level, so. Individuals are playing a lot harder than the collective bunch. We all gonna play in DBs like Ray Buchanan, and
again, Sonaris is playing in a different era of football that he's playing in.
It's true, man, but he's still a gunner. He got to get hit sometime.
I ain't saying that he's not. I ain't saying that it's not.
Yeah, but you're right.
Contact, but it is a different era. It's not even the era of.
Man, football has changed from Billy McMichael to now. You know what I'm saying? Like,
but that's my point. It's not even the football that you watch on television today is not even the same football 5-6 years ago.
Nah.
What was dude named Ed Reed? Ed Reed, probably arguably one of the greatest safeties to ever play football. Ed Reed would have gotten himself fined out of the league if he played today.
True.
And Ed Reed retired, 5-6 years ago? You know, he was already on the downside of his career. That 2000, was it 2000 Ravens? Year was
2001, 2000.
That Ravens team.
Well, he came after they won the Super Bowl.
No, that's what I'm saying. Which one was it?
It was 2001, 2002.
When he wasn't on what was considered the greatest defense ever? Ravens?
That's the one that won the Super Bowl.
Okay, so anyway, let's talk about that team in particular. That team wouldn't work today. It just wouldn't work. And that's only 18 years ago.
That's true. I mean,
he was on the 2012 team that won the Super Bowl.
Rodney Harrison couldn't play in this league.
Yeah, exactly.
Patriots DB.
Brian Dawkins. These are not people from a far gone era. These are people that played yesterday.
Man. Damn, man. It just adds.
Think if Randy Moss was in his prime today.
If Randy Moss was in his prime today, man, and going across the middle without being afraid of getting hit.
Randy Moss don't go across the middle. I'm saying if Randy Moss was who Randy Moss was, but played today in his prime.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if Randy Moss was in his prime today, he definitely wouldn't be afraid to go across the middle because you can't hit a nigga.
He had no need to go across the middle because, one, they can't hit the quarterback, can't jam him off the line.
Yet still, to add an element to a man's game who don't need an element added to the game, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, but you creating players right now. All I'm doing is changing the time.
Man, he might be able to run across the middle and then go back out just because he got time.
I'm just saying, man.
Because he got time. Homie might still be playing. What's his name? The dude from Florida State that got caught up in the clothes scandal. It's Patrick? Nah.
I never really cared about Florida State.
Well, they had some athletes come out of there. I was always paying attention. I forgot his name. I guess he's not important anymore. He ended up going to the Bengals for just a little bit. He was on the team when Chris Henry died.
Talking about Hushman. Oh, you talking about Ocho Cinco? Hushman Zeta?
No, it's another dude. He was out of Florida State. He was
the only ones I knew.
Like, during the national championship game, Florida State against Virginia Tech.
He was a guy
on Florida State that was busting Virginia Tech defense ass.
Bro, I don't remember that game. That was 100 years ago. I just remember Mike Vick, damn.
I remember all that shit.
That shit, that was 98. I remember I had them damn cleats.
We definitely got like a minute and 30 seconds left.
We gotta come back. I need to talk to you about voting in Georgia and Stacey Abrams and how.
Yeah, well, we should do another show this week. We definitely need to do another one. And I want to talk to you about that Stacey Abrams shit, man, because I just registered to vote in Georgia the other day. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm in this bitch now, so.
I'm not gonna set this one out.
No, I mean, I haven't set out any
of. You ain't gonna vote for the lesser of the two evils.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I am gonna vote for the lesser of the two evils in this one. I'm gonna vote for the black lady.
Okay. Just because she's black.
Nah, I'm gonna vote for her because she said she wanna give, immigrant children fucking, hope scholarships.
Nah, that's bullshit.
You motherfuckers earn that shit, nigga. You said who graduated with this. It didn't say citizen motherfucker on that paperwork. You said who graduated, goddamn.
Well, by God.
But yeah, that's gonna be a good one. I would like to see her win, man. We have a black lady governor of Georgia. goddamn sophomore rise again.
With the Yale Law with Brett Kavanaugh.
Rise again, goddamn. Shit. But, hey, man, until next time, man, we out this name. You got anything to say in these last 20 seconds?
Nah, where my check at?
Your check at? Well, the check is on the way, man. You know what I'm saying? As they say, the check is in the mail. Go check the mailbox. They even put checks in the mail anymore? You get a check in the mail, man.
I don't get shit with bills in the mail. I try not to go.
This shit, hey, I didn't know that it does it, man. It does like a blinking countdown. We out.